Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service on the unusual comment, a sunny morning. You're all very welcome, and we trust that you will enjoy our service this morning. To those who are listening to the service by means of a recorded message, we trust that you will feel part of our service and that you will enjoy it at some later stage. Our service this morning is conducted by Jeff Gleed, who also is our musical director. You may want to call him the master of ceremonies. The notices are as was published on the weekly news, except to say that for some strange reason, the online version is a two-page version, whilst the one that we have available as you walk in is a single page. The positive side of that is that we're doing our best to save the planet. Our readers this morning are myself, Mike Gordon, and Wally Knight. And I would just add one piece of information. As this is communion this morning, I'm not sure whether it's a change in the process, but the sacraments will be delivered by myself and Mike Denton, and we will come round in one hand with the tray of wine and in the other hand the tray of bread. And I have to tell you, the bread is all gluten free. So that's the format for the service this morning. There are no other notices to make you aware of. I'm sorry? The Tradecraft store is in the atrium and is available at the end of the service as is normal practice. And Liz will be there to take your money and give you your goods as you so desire. We'll now have a few minutes of peace and quiet while we reflect and prepare for our service this morning. And I will light the Christ candle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you, and good to see some new faces here this morning. Welcome. The psalmist writes, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, for great are the works of the Lord. His promise endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have a good understanding." We've got three hymns today, and you'll see that the tune we're singing our first hymn to is well known. It's that good Welsh tune, Blaenwen. So we stand to sing, if you wish. You do not have to sing, but if you wish, through your masks, "Living God, your word has called us."
Thank you.
So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, as our opening hymn reminds us, you have called us to live by your grace. And we pray that you will make us a people of hope and faith and vision. So take our searching and our questioning. Take our hopes, our fears, our praising. And yes, take too the silence of our unspoken thoughts and prayers. May we work and grow in love towards one another and our world. Grant that we may use our own individual gifts and our corporate gifts as a church and share them in your service. This morning we want to bless you for all the good things in our world which we so often take for granted. For the beauty of the earth. For the mountains and hills, the valleys and lowlands. For the power of the ocean. For the joy of hearing the song of the birds. As we witness the beauty and tranquility of a lake or a gentle flowing stream. Grant that in all these things and in so many others, Lord, we may give you thanks. But let us also remember those who live in parts of our world where there is nothing but desert and destruction and devastation, where natural beauty is no longer. And so much ugliness is open for all to see. The landscape, much of it destroyed by us as human beings. So forgive us if we've played some small part in selfishly using the earth's natural resources, often without thinking. Forgive us too for those things in our lives which we know have hurt others, hurt ourselves, and in so doing have hurt you. We seek your love and ask for your word of pardon, offering up just some of our thoughts in a quiet time. These are words you may trust. The Lord forgives all who are truly sorry. Father God, hear these, our morning prayers, in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour, and our friend, and hear us as together we say the words he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're now to have our two Bible readings.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 17. Beginning at verse 1 through to 7, and then again 15 to 17. The sign of the covenant. When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk with me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to the nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?
Our second reading today is taken from Mark, chapter 8, and verses 31 to 35. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But, turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I guess you can get all sorts of meanings out of the two readings we've had today, but I think they can help us to grasp the concept of what it means to have faith. In Genesis, we've got God confirming Abraham's faith by giving him that new name, Abraham, which literally means father of the nations. And then in Mark's gospel, we have Jesus rebuking Peter and really the other disciples too for their lack of faith. Get behind me, Satan, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And I wonder how we would class ourselves. Are we more like Abraham or Peter and the disciples? Or is our faith rather like being on a seesaw, where sometimes our faith is up and strong and absolutely confident, and other times it's down and very doubtful. Although 99 years old, and I'm fascinated that it says that in the Bible, and Abraham does what every older person does, he adds a year to his age. I'm 100 years old, he said at the end, did you notice that? But he's 99 years old, and having suffered much during his life, and doubting God's promise that his wife Sarah would conceive and have a child in her old age, he does actually follow God's commands. His faith enabled him to trust in God's word, even though reason and logic, it has to be said, seem to tell him otherwise. And I think that there's a message for us today, as we had a message there for Abraham all those years ago. God tells us to trust in him and believe that all things are possible, even when we might not think that's so. Because, you see, that's exactly, to me, what faith is. It's being prepared to believe in things that seem absolutely impossible according to logic and the world's values. Abraham was prepared to lay himself open to God and to believe that all things were possible, that there was nothing that God could not do, even though we know, as we heard, that Abraham did laugh initially at the prospect of he and Sarah having a child in their very, very, very old age. Now, of course, Peter, on the other hand, good old Peter, we know a lot about him, he lacked the faith of Abraham. And when Jesus told the disciples that he would have to die in order to fulfill his mission, Peter actually has to have a go at him. He's not considering God's purposes there, Peter, but his own natural human desires and feelings. Peter wanted Christ to be a king. Absolutely he did. But not a king who had to go through suffering and death. He was eager to receive the glory of following Messiah, but he wasn't at all keen on that persecution factor. A bit like we would be, I guess. And certainly one of the lessons to be learned here is that the Christian life, we all know, is not a road paved with wealth and ease. It often involves hard work, persecution, deprivation, deep suffering sometimes, and lots of doubts, that's for sure. Peter only saw part of the picture, of course. He didn't have faith enough at that time to believe that God could ultimately create good out of apparent evil. But you've got to remember, of course, that Peter was often the spokesman for all the disciples. And in singling him out in the gospel here, Jesus may have been actually addressing all the disciples directly. And without realizing it, of course, I think the disciples were preventing Jesus from going to the cross, thus fulfilling his mission. They didn't want that to happen. And there's a lesson to be learnt here too, I think. The disciples' job, that's us as well, is not to guide and protect Jesus, but to follow him. It's not what we want of Jesus, but what Jesus wants of us. And we can only give the best to him when we're prepared to move forward in our faith. Like Abraham, yes, we can have doubts, but it's faith that will enable us to trust in God's divine purpose for us and for the world, despite so often having doubts. You see, it seems to me that as Christians, we do often tend to hold back from saying or doing something because we worry about what others might think, don't we? But it's because we are Christians that we have to be ready to lose our lives, our reputations, our old ideas, our fears, our concerns, and be, yes, sometimes laughed at and ridiculed in order to push towards that goal which God wants us to achieve. Because, you see, what we may lose by doing that simply cannot be compared with what we stand to gain. When you stop to think about it, Jesus constantly turned all the world's values upside down, didn't he? There was talk often of first and last, of saving and losing, of rich and poor. And there are many other examples in the Gospels too. And it's in following his teaching, rather than our own human emotions, that faith is then able to get a foothold. Faith is the human response to divine truth. It's the human response to divine truth. And in that sense, it's not a natural act for any of us. Faith is dependent on God's actions on our souls, our innermost being. Faith demands, amongst other things, an act of will. It's higher than the faculty of reason and logic. And that, I think, is what prevents us so often from having faith, of being totally convinced of God's plan for us. Our logic and our reason stop us from treading into areas of life where we are uncertain and perhaps we are fearful of the consequences. I mean, we do like to stay in our comfort zones, don't we? Jesus, on the other hand, had so much faith, didn't he? So much faith in God that he was able to walk the road to Calvary and die an agonizing death. He did doubt. We all know he doubted at times. And that's good for you and me to know. Part of growing in faith is to sometimes doubt as well. But his doubts, like those doubts of Abraham, were overcome by faith in God, who was able to do far more than they could either ask or imagine. So then I end by asking this question this morning. Are you and I too logical, too earthbound, too careful, too comfortable, really, to allow faith to spur us on to greater things? Well, I don't know the answer for you. I'm pretty certain I know where I stand. What I do know is that we really shouldn't hold back, concerned as to whether or not we're doing the right thing, when the inner voice, which I believe is the Holy Spirit at work through faith, tells us to go on and get on with it. Because you have to remember that faith often has to pay a price. We know that Jesus was killed for his faith and his actions. And that would be a really good reason for not having faith, wouldn't it? Except for one very important event which followed his death. Resurrection. We, you and I, friends, are his resurrection people. What a responsibility that is, honestly. So there really is nothing to fear. That would be my argument today. And I pray that God will grant us the faith to speak and work and act for his coming kingdom, knowing, always knowing, that Christ has trod the path before us and that he is actually with us every single step of the way. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we're going to sing again a hymn of faith. Have faith in God.
remain standing for the blessing of the offering. Bless, O Lord, our offering of money which we have brought here before you today. May it be used, we pray, for your glory through us, a people of faith. Amen. And we remain standing and we say the grace to each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. I wonder if, as I begin the prayers of intercession, the serving elders for communion could come up and join me, please. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, among the many distractions of the world, we ask that you will help us to keep our eyes, our minds, our hearts fixed on you and on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Today we pray that you will grant your whole church a spirit of discipline and perseverance. Let her not grow slack in doing the right thing. Make us a holy church, a healing church, a welcoming church, alive to the needs of those around us. And on this day, we pray for all who are new to faith. We remember those whose faith is wavering at this time and who seem to feel that they've lost vision and purpose. We pray for friends and loved ones and anyone who at this time are going through challenges in their lives. Blessing, honour, glory and might belong to you, O Lord. So before you we bow and we offer you these thoughts in our prayers. For you are our rock. Be with us and all your people in this world, in these times of great uncertainty and much trouble. Be with our brothers and sisters who are marginalized and despised, who are enduring violence and injustice and uncertainty, who are being persecuted for their faith and belief. Be with those who are now in times of sickness and who are suffering. And take those who have died into your everlasting kingdom. We bring these, our prayers, in the name of Christ. And we remember, too, the situation in Haiti and the families who've lost loved ones and some who've lost everything. The situation following the Mexico hurricane. We name places such as Afghanistan in that terrible suffering yet again. The plight of the Palestinian people and all areas of the world living with violence and hatred and war and famine. For refugees, the difficulties they are fleeing from, and the hope they're looking for. We pray for the hungry and the homeless and people who have no job or purpose in life. Those who are struggling with any form of mental conditions and medical treatments. And on this day, it seems right that we should pray for all organisations in any way who seek to support internationally, locally, those who are going through difficult times. We think of ambulance services, firefighters, police, armed forces. We think of the work of Amnesty International and so many other organisations. And closer to home, we pray for our Old Town Partnership of Churches, that we may continue to work together in all things that we could do so much better united. Lord, hear these our spoken prayers together with the many unspoken prayers which we bring. In the name of Jesus, amen. Friends, the table of the Lord is set before us. And I invite you to come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right to come, but because you need the mercy and help of our Lord. Indeed, come because you love the Lord a little and you would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. So, friends, we remember how the Lord Jesus Christ shared a simple meal with his disciples in that upper room prior to his arrest, his trial and his crucifixion. He wanted that meal to leave a lasting impression, not only on the disciples then, but for us, his disciples, and every successive generation. So on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in memory of me." And in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and again, having given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we pray that you will bless these gifts of bread and wine and fill us with new life in you. Thanks be to God for his love toward us. Amen.
body of Christ broken for you and for me. Let us eat and be thankful. The blood of Christ, shed for us all. Let us drink and be thankful. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for feeding us with these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that we may be renewed in faith to live and work for you. And yes, together, help bring about your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Don't forget the tradecraft stall is available in the atrium afterwards, and the blessing today will be given by Steve Brain. We sing our final hymn, a good hymn that you must know, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us.
Seek peace, pray for peace, think of peace, speak of peace, act in peace, live in peace. May the peace of the Lord be always with us, and may God give us strength to run the race that is set before us, and give us hope to persevere to the end. And the blessing of God, Creator, Sustainer, and Life-Giver, be with us and our world this day and always. Amen.